start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Friday, 12th of Shabbat, 3rd of February. Rabbi Eli Birnbaum, Shlita, what was taught at Morrow? This week's Torah way has been sponsored by family Stimler, Lechvod Tzimuch HaNesunovich, Shira Stimler and Shlita Stern. Chasta took place on Wednesday. He, Rotzen, Shizkul of Noah's Bias, Demon, Yisrael, Lishem, Lissilo.
Free of charge, you prepared a sheet. Sign it afterwards if you want.
Hand out. Yeah, George,
may, may I steal?
Thank you. Thank you.
With pleasure.
If it's stealing, you may not.
Sorry?
If it's stealing, you may not.
Borrowing forcefully. Right, they say the first rule of public speaking is never begin with an apology. As you can hear, I'm quite nasal still. I'm at the tail end of the flu. I don't usually sound like this. I'm easier to listen to on a normal day. I thought in this week's parasha we would do I need to stay in front of that camera? I move around a lot.
Do what you like.
Do what I like. Fantastic. I thought that first I should introduce myself, Eli Birnbaum. Pleasure to be back here. It's been quite a few. I think this is a BC, a before COVID, since I was last Zeicher to be here. My main role is I work for Eish HaTorah here in the UK. I do some freelance stuff for the United Synagogue as well, and generally do what I can for the community. So I thought this week's parasha, there's a lot going on in between the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Shira, Mom, Melchemes Amalek. You can kind of lose sight of the wood for the trees, as they say, well, the trees for the wood, whichever way round it is. And the parasha of Morrow, the interesting sort of interlude that interrupts straight after the Shira, the incident of Morrow, is often overlooked. And I think that by delving into this in greater depth and asking a few questions, particularly on Rashi's approach to this section of the parasha, we can actually uncover something quite remarkable and unique that was going on in between, as I've said, the headline acts, the big dramatic moments of the parasha. So as we know, we begin, source 1, source Aleph, Vayasa Moshe Yisrael miyamsuf, Vayitzu el amibar shur, Vayelchu shlosh yisrael miyamsuf, Vayimotsu mayim. They went 3 days in the desert, Vayimotsu mayim, they didn't find any water. What's this referring to? A choice of two things. Well, I ask lots of questions, by the way. I'm very, very used to being heckled, so don't feel bad to shout abuse or questions. V'lo'imotsu mayim, what is that they didn't find? What's the posh pshat of that? They're in a desert. They didn't find water. What does Chazal say? What does mayim mean? We'll see this soon.
Ein mayim
elatoy. We'll see that soon in Bava Kamma. It's the next source. Chazal darshan is, we say, in the next, well, it's not the next source, it's in Gimel. In the second line of Gimel, Darshei Rishumai Samru, those who were darshaning the Ramazim, the hidden secrets of the Torah, they said, no, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. This isn't Evian, it's not Buxton, this is Ein Mayim Ela Torah. They went 3 days without finding Torah. And the context of this Gemara is discussing who was Masake, who decreed that we have Kriyas HaTorah on Sheni Chamishi and Shabbos, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos. Who established that? Well, the Gemara says initially it was Ezra HaSofer, it was Ezra. And the Gemara brings our parasha as a question from a Baraisa that says, presumably, it predated Ezra by many, many generations, and it's from our parasha. Our parasha established that if you go 3 days without Torah, you can't manage, you can't survive, you almost die of thirst, a ruchni thirst, a spiritual thirst. So it was established here to read Torah or learn Torah at least once every 3 days. So that's what's going on. If we look back at the first source, though, and I'll direct your attention to Pasuk Chof Hei, Vayitzak El Hashem, they cry out, Moshe cries out to Hashem, Vayorehu Hashem Eitz, Hashem Vayorehu, help me out here. Although, being from monks, I'm meant to be able to pause and translate and find the shaudesh of each verb, but Vayorehu is a strange word. I think it may appear again in the parasha of Ari Miklot, but I don't think it appears at all in the whole Torah. What's Vayarehu? What does it mean? It's in Nach a lot, but not... not Vayarehu?
He taught him.
So it's clear who's read Art Scroll. And so Art Scroll says, based on the simple Targumim, that Vayarehu means he shows him a tree, a branch. What does Moshe do with the tree? Vayashleich al amayim, back to Pasuk Chofei. Vayimtuku amayim, the water becomes sweet. And then something very cryptic, something very difficult to understand. Sham, it's a tongue twister. Sham, sam laichok umishpat v'sham nisahu. There was placed for him or it, meaning Klal Yisrael, choik umishpat v'sham nisahu. And there, lefi roiv mefarshim, sham nisahu means there Hashem tested Klal Yisrael. It's easy to make a mistake and think it's the other way around because, of course, we're complaining, which we're excellent at doing. But no, it's the reverse here. And the question to delve into first and foremost is, what is this Chok Umishpat? What is this Vayorehu 8? I mean, already I'll give you a sort of spoiler alert. The word Vayorehu does not mean, and he showed him. How would I say that in biblical Hebrew?
Vayarehu.
Vayarehu, with an aleph, and a bit of a switch of the vowelization. Vayorehu does not mean, and he showed him. We'll get to what it really means, and he taught him what? What's being taught? And what is the Chok Umishpat? What is the Chok Umishpat? That's the question. Let's look down at the Ramban. The Ramban in source 5, source Hay. The Ramban says, it looks like, by the way, the Ramban is arguing with the Gemara. The Gemara, as we've just seen in Bava Kama, Darshans, Vayilchu Shlosh Yisyomim V'leimotsu Mayim, the Gemara says they didn't find water, Ein Mayim El HaTorah. So the Fila Gemara, the Chok Umishpat that is given to Klal Yisrael at Mara, is some sort of Torah and Mitzvah. The Ramban says in Hay, Vani Toma, I don't understand what it's talking about. If it is the case that Chok Umishpat means literally Torah and Mitzvahs, Lama Lo Pirish Kana Chukim Oele, V'Hamishpatim. Why doesn't it explain what they were? If it's that important that we went 3 days without Torah and here's the first sample of Torah we have, says the Ramban, at least have the decency to tell us what it was so we know what to do. How do we know what to do otherwise? No idea. And he carries on. He asks the second question, and why not preface it and introduce it with the usual Vayidaber Hashem on Moshe Tzavis B'nei Yisrael Kashem of Barashiras and his Kodesh Lamala Dabra Kol Adas B'nei. He says there's no inclination here, no indication that this is Torah Mitzvahs. If it was, we'd have the usual introduction of the relaying of a Nevuah Vayidaber Hashem on Moshe Leimo Sham Sam Loichok Mishpa V'Sham Niso. There's nothing here, says the Ramban. And he concludes, and Rabbeinu Bachir is with him. There's many Rishonim who take this approach. It sounds like they are arguing with the Gemara in Bava Kama. He says very simply, very nicely, that Chok Umishpat is actually from the world of Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah, and all that's being taught to Klal Yisrael here is the first time we're a free nation, and for the first time we're encountering a desert, says the Ramban. They're being taught how to behave. They're being given guidance in how to live. This is how to survive in the desert. This is how to approach the tribes, the nomads that you encounter in the desert. This is how to trade with people. And finally, says the Ramban al Derech Musa, at the end of this piece, it's a much longer piece. He says at the second last line in Hey, V'toychochos Musa shlo yiyu k'machanos ha-sholim ha-sheyasu kol ha-toyeva v'lo yisboshoshu. He says it's a warning to Klal Yisrael, you will encounter tribes people in the desert who behave in a subhuman way. They have no real concept of dignity. Don't behave like them. So the Ramban al Derech Pshat says Chok Umishpat has nothing to do with some form of Torah and mitzvahs. That's the first approach. However, if we look at Vav, Sanhedrin and Vav on the base. The Sanhedrin, the Gemara aligns with the Gemara above in Bava Kama and says V'lo Motsu Mayim means Torah. There was a void of Torah, a gap. How was that gap filled? Says Sanhedrin in Vav. Dinin B'nei Noach, if good, the Gemara is discussing the Shiva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach and what they were. For our purposes, let's look at the Baraisa. V'atanya Eser Mitzvahs Nitztavu Yisrael B'mara. There were 10 mitzvahs given to Klal Yisrael at Mara in our story. Sheva, 7 of them. Shekiblu Aleihem B'nei Noach. 7 already predated this story. They are the Shiva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. V'hoisifu Aleihem Dinin V'Shabbos the Kibbud of Va'ein. You have the Shiva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and added to them, there are 3 more mitzvahs. What are they? Dinim, which means what?
Courts of law.
Courts of law. litigation, the laws of litigation, Bati Din, and the other two are well, they're not really self-explanatory, but we know what they were familiar with them, Shabbos and Kibbud Av
V'Aim. That's one of the Shabbat Minach.
And that's exactly what the Gemara brings it. The Gemara's opening question, I cut it off. If you look at the beginning of the source, the Gemara says, Dinim? B'nei Noyach Ifkud? Is that really one of the Shiva Mitzvot Nevahotanya? Surely Dinim was given. In fact, Rav Yehuda at the end of the Gemara there, he gives an answer that what was added, he says in Achanami, you're right, B'nei Noyach were already given the laws of litigation, but what's added at Mora for Klal Yisrael are the halachas of Eidus, Eidah, needing a based in of Esrim v'Sholosh, and the idea of Aegis and who can testify and how to testify. So that's the Gemara's answer. But for our intents and purposes, we learn now from the Gemara, there are three mitzvahs given. In addition, new mitzvahs to quench the thirst for Torah. And again, they are Dinim, Shabbos, Kibbud Av V'Aim. Okay? Let's see Rashi at the bottom of the page, and then we'll pause for some questions. It says Rashi in Zion, on our parasha, Sham Sam Loi, says Rashi, what was going on in Mara? But Mara, Nosan Lohem Miktsas Parshios Shel Torah. We were given like a sample, a taste of the Torah. They used to say in Yeshiva, Shmek Tabuk. Is that still a thing? I don't speak Yiddish at all, much to my father-in-law's disappointment. But they used to say like a little bit, just a taste of Torah. Why, says Rashi, pay close attention. If I've made it bold, it's for a reason. Sheyis Asku Vohem, or if I get the Dogesh correct, Sheyis Asaku Vohem, that they will make themselves busy with this Miktsas Parashios. Says Rashi, and what were they? Shabbos, Parah Aduma, V'dinim. What's the problem?
Parah Aduma.
Where, as we say in Babylon, in Bovel, Parah Aduma Mandoch Hashmei. Where did Parah Aduma come from?
Kibbud Av V'Aim is missing.
Kibbud Av V'Aim is missing, is it? No, it's not. Turn the page. It's not missing, and this makes Rashi even more difficult to understand, because Rashi elsewhere, in Vayeschanan, on the Aseres HaDibros, he brings the missing piece. Kashet Tzivcha, the Aseres HaDibros in Vayeschanan says the words, Kashet Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, as Hashem has already commanded you. It says it twice, by Kibbud Av V'Aim, and what's the other one? Don't worry, I don't report general knowledge back to H. Don't worry. What's the other one? Shabbos and Kibbud Av V'Aim. In the second, Aseres HaDibros, they both say, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. And the Gemara we've just learned in Sanhedrin, Rav Yehuda in the Gemara, says, this shows us that they were already commanded to Klal Yisrael. And when was that? Says Rav Yehuda, presumably, in Mora. So Rashi in verse Chanan says, Af al kibbud av v'aim nitztavu b'mora. Shenemar, Shom som leichoku mishpat. And for a bit more detail, the way the Gemara understands it, is you have choik u'mishpat. The Gemara says that Shabbos is a choik, mishpat is dinim, kibbud av v'aim is a hybrid of the two. Kibbud av v'aim is choik u'mishpat. Why? It's a mishpat that we understand, kibbud av v'aim makes sense. But when you learn the Gemara's in Chazal, and you see, at Heichan Advarim Magir, the extent to which Kibbud Av V'Aim goes, that you suffer humiliation and embarrassment, but you still are mechabed your parents, that part of it is a choik. So you have Mishpat is Dinim, choik is Shabbos, choik u'mishpat, Kibbud Av V'Aim. So Rashi's brought all three of them. So what are the questions on Rashi? First question is, Parah Aduma, where on earth has he got that from? Second question is, from Rashi later on in Devarim, it's clear that he is fully aware of Chazal in the Gemara, and he's fully aware of how they darshan Shom Sam Leichoku Mishpat. And he brings Kibbud Av V'Aim with Shabbos and Dinim. So where's Parah Aduma come from? I have another question, La'anias Deity, that I haven't seen written inside before we go to the Maharal. And that is, if you remember in Source 7 in Zion, Rashi says, why have we been given Miktsas Parashios Shel Torah? He says two words. Why are we given these Miktsas Parashios, this sample of Torah? Sheyis Asaku Vohem. What does that mean? Translate, Sheyis Asaku Vohem. Okay, now apply Rashi, Minei Ubei, apply Rashi's own Svara to the mitzvahs that have been given. Shabbos. Can we busy ourselves with Shabbos?
Yeah.
Yes. It's about to be the first Shabbos ever. It's very important. Can we busy ourselves in the Midbar with Kibbud Av V'Aim?
Yes.
Of course. It's applicable to everyone. Can we busy ourselves with litigation, dinim. Yes, as they say, two Jews, two barley din. You know, litigant, he stole this, he cheated on that, they broke this, they ran away with that, they promised this. Yes, paraduma. Yisaskuba, the Maharal, by the way, that I've brought part of it. He has four paragraphs trying to explain how Yisaskubahem really applies to paraduma as well. The Papashtus, one of two possibilities. One, no one alive has ever seen a paraduma. Two, even if they have seen a paraduma, to understand or to get busy, Yisaskuba, to get busy in the parasha of paraduma, you first need to understand which parasha?
Chukas.
And before that, you need to understand two other parashiyos, Tumah and Tara, mainly Tumas Meis, and you have to understand Bias Migdash, you have to understand Kodshim. So you give them Paraduma, there's no context to it, nothing. What are we meant to busy ourselves with? The Maharal, if you look, in Tess, in 9, well, I should ask, I think that there was a mention there. Where do you think Rashi, where do we think Rashi saw Paraduma in the Posuk?
Well, obviously it's the Chok, because it's the only one, I think, in the Torah, which is called Zos Chukas HaTorah.
So, you're in good company, the Maharal says the same thing. Very good company. But I would say, as they say in Israel, they say in the Tachanah Merkazit, B'mechilat Kvodchem, with the greatest respect, because the Maharal brings this as well. If we, Lahavdil, in Leaside Crescent in 2023, if we can spot that remez, in 2 seconds flat, that it says choik, must be paraduma, I can safely presume that Chazal also spotted it. And the Amoraim spotted it in Sanhedrin, and they ignored it nonetheless. They said choik doesn't mean paraduma. Rashi says apparently it does. Or perhaps Rashi's seeing it from somewhere else. The Maharal, if you forgive me, just Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvaro. Have a look at Tess. I've rarely seen. I don't learn Gorariyeh so much, I have to confess. But the Maharal is very, very sharp here in Rashi. He says in the second paragraph in Tess, it says, Ach yesh lismoya ma'oid al pirish Rashi. It's astonishing what Rashi says. Ki nota medivrei amechilta umiderech al-gemar de Sanhedrin. He strays totally from what Chazal say and explaining what happened at Mara and what Choyk Mishpat represented. And then in the third, the final paragraph, he says, Omnamim kol zed devar of Tavuim. Indeed, with all of this, Rashi's approach is astonishing. Shehoya lo lefarish v'kosu k'moshe pirishu chachamim. Why didn't he just bring? He brings it anyway. He brings the final piece in Va'eschanan to bring it here and just leave Paraduma out of the picture. Very, very harsh. He says Rashi has fabricated this out of his imagination. He's looked at the parasha and said, yeah, there's Shabbos, there's Dinim, there's Kibbud Ov Aim, oh look, and there's Paraduma as well. Says the Maharal, where's he getting that from? Where's it from? He carries on and he says that really, when you look at the Mechilta, by the way, not the Gemara, the Mechilta brings 7 or 8 different opinions of what was taught at Mara. You'd have to take my word for it. None of them is paraduma. And the Maharal says, yes.
I think that maybe the concept of chok was taught, that there will be laws which you will not understand. That's just a general concept.
It's a beautiful suggestion. The Gemara says exactly that, but about Shabbos.
But Shabbos, they are really kept in Egypt.
Yeah.
To an extent, it's not.
All the way since Yaakov Avinu came into Egypt, they probably kept Shabbos.
It's not clear what was kept, and this point, by the way, is a discussion. If we have more time, I'd love to go into the Rambam properly in Yud Aleph. Selected it for what is the question?
Keeping
Lama Tes Melachas or a day of rest or a day of Eidus of Bria Sa'olam. Shabbos has so many. It's a talk for another time. Shabbos is given to us 5 or 6 times in the Torah, and each time there's a different aspect. And Mon is like its own aspect of Shabbos. And where Chazal took different Pesukim and put them into Kiddush is another entire world. It's a very nice suggestion. If we have more time, I would go into it a bit more. But the Maharal concludes and says that if you're misboinim, if you really look into the Mechilta, and the mitzvahs the Mechilta says were given at Mara, he says you would realize, and his final conclusion is, for hakol the chokhma of a haskel, everything that Chazal said is with chokhma and haskel. The hein laharich b'mokay mazeh b'perusha mechilta. And his final words on this are: Rashi nota medivrei chachomim zal, v'hoisif aleihem v'gora harbe. Maral says kol amoisif Go Raya.
The same thought applies. If the same way that sweetening bitter waters with another bitter thing is connected to cycle.
Oh, pause there. We're about to see that. It's a beautiful, beautiful. Baruch Shekivanto. To many, many makaras that we're going to see now. Two or three makaras to come. Beautiful idea.
So the pasuk Zoyzchu Kasatara appears by Hagolas Kalim as well.
Yes.
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 So
you're saying
it could have been something else.
It could have been many things. Our understanding is there are many chukos in the Torah, just paradume is like the par excellence. It is the category A. Mahadrim mina mahadrim choik. It's not the kosher levracha, it's the sug aleph aleph. The very expensive dairy. That's like the best that you can get. Choik. So the question we come back to is, we have different approaches. We've seen the Ramban. The Ramban presumably argues with the Gemara in Bava Kamma and says, "Shom som loy chok mishpat has nothing to do with Torah and mitzvahs because it would have told us what to do and it would have given us the traditional introduction of Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimot tzavos bnei Yisrael, something like that. That's the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bachya. They say that chok mishpat is talking about what? Let's do a bit of chazora. Just derech eretz. How to survive in the desert? How to survive in the big wide world? And how to behave as a Jew should behave in the big wide world.
It doesn't say what. It doesn't say, you just say derech, but what? What did you tell him? He did.
So the Ramban, it gives a bit of, again, it's difficult to read into the words choyk and mishpah, but he says choyk is just the hanhogas ha'olam, just how to behave, as in chukos shemayim bar, it's just the way the world works. And he says mishpat is just how to behave with a higher madrega as a Jew should. But again, it's still, you're right, it's not like clear in the pasuk what's really going on. That's one mahalach. We have the second mahalach, which is the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, no! Chayk u'mishpat is actual mitzvahs. And what were those mitzvahs again? Shabbos, dinim, and kibbutz ova'im. Rashi steps into the picture and says, oh wait, there's paradumah as well. To which everyone says, and the Maharal says, kol ha'moisif gareah, where on earth have you got paradumah from? And what shi'is askubo? How do you busy yourself with something that is, in, at this stage, and even afterwards, entirely theoretical? How do you reconcile this? So let's conclude. We don't have too much time to discuss the Rambam. There are mefroshim based on this Rambam in the Mishnah in Chulin, the end of Perek Zion. I'll speak it out very briefly. The Rambam says the Yisoid. He says it's an Ikah HaGodol that he says appears almost by, not by chance, Chas V'Shalom, but by chance at the end of the seventh Perek of Chulin. And the Yisoid the Rambam discusses there is essentially, I'll say it in one line, it's not doing it justice, but it's important for us to contemplate this. He says any mitzvah, quote unquote, that was given before Ma'amat Har Sinai carries no authority. I know that sounds shocking, but you can read it inside the second bold section there in the Rambam. He says, "Einon umalin leplesha romavino alavashon malatz mevanshe beso." He says about to ruin many droshas at the Suddas Mitzvah of a Bris Mila. He says it's very nice that Avraham Avinu vaanshe beso had Bris Mila, but that's not the reason we do it today. That's not Gidanoshe as well. That's not why we do it. And it gives us source material to speak about at the Suddas Mitzvah, and it gives us a Dvar Torah to say, but that's not why we do it. Says the Rambam Yisoid, why do we do Bris Mila? Because of Ma'amat Har Sinai. Because of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, a lot of Mefroshim then say, well, if that's true, and it seems it must be true, for reasons we don't have time to go into now, if that's true, we come back to our original question, which is, what was really going on at Morah? So we give and mix us parashios, Shabbos, Dinim, Kibbutz Ova'im, Parah Aduma from somewhere. But the Rambam's Yisoid is that they're nice, but they don't really matter. So what's really going on at Morah? That's the question, and we'll conclude with our last few sources. We'll skip the next few that give different explanations, different approaches based on the Rambam. Let's skip to the last page to test Zion. 16. Says the Be'er Ma'ayim Chaim, we don't have time to read it all inside, but I think we've already kivanta to what the Be'er Ma'ayim Chaim says, and it's based on a Tanchuma. Be'er Ma'ayim Chaim says, I'll say it outside and then we'll go into the bold bit at the end. He says the real purpose of Morah, heyois, that whatever mitzvahs you're given before Har Sinai are lovely, but they don't carry much authority, if any at all. They're nice. We don't disregard them, but they don't obligate us to do anything. So he says, if that's true, what's really happening at Morah? And why is this parasha so important? In and amongst a parasha that already has Kriyas Yamsuf and Oz Yoshir and the Mon and Melchemes Amalek. Like, it's jam-packed. There's enough. Dayenu, there's enough in the parasha already. Says the Be'emayim Chaim, what's really happening in Moram? Why is it so important? And he says, what's v'shom nisahu? What is the test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael? He says, imagine this. We walk out of Mitzrayim. We're a free people. And we walk into the desert. And what's the first thing you struggle to find in a desert? Well, I was going to say car insurance. Well, the first thing you struggle to find is water. Struggle to find a good cup of water. There's a bear I'm fine. The test for Klal Yisrael was to realize that even though you've left the Nisim behind, everything remains Bahashkochas Hashem. You come to this body of water that's bitter, which is a natural phenomenon. It's just a stagnant oasis. There is such a thing. I've seen the David Attenborough documentaries. There is such a thing as a stagnant oasis that becomes salty, and then animals die in it, and their carcasses rot in it. It becomes poisonous for a human to drink. So says the Be'emayim Chaim, Klal Yisrael might think, oh, well, fair enough. We've come to an oasis. It's stagnant. It's bitter. It's poisonous. And this is terrible. We have nothing to drink. Manishter, what will we drink? He says, now is time for you to realize. And it's time for you to learn a lesson. And what is that lesson? And I think it's probably expressed the best in the Medrash Tanchuma that says, At Maitse in Yud Zayin. What is the lesson? We said before the word Vayarehu 8. What does that mean? Art scroll says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Moshe Rabbeinu a tree. The real translation of Vayarehu 8 is, he taught him through the tree, or the tree taught a lesson. Says the Tanchuma, what was that lesson? At Maitse. Basav Adam, Makeh Be'izmele Merape Baratia. For example, a person, Lyalena, burns themselves. How do they heal? What do they apply to the burn? The burn is hot, it stings. What do they apply to the burn? I don't know. I don't know if water is advisable. It depends on the burn. They get a cold, soothing ointment. As in, you suffer a burn, you apply the opposite property to heal that burn. V'akadosh Baruch Hu einochein. He takes the very problem itself and uses that problem to find the solution. Says the Tanchuma, this is what happens. This is what's really going on at Mara. They couldn't drink the water. Why? It's bitter. Follow carefully. Moshe Rabbeinu thinks, we need an ace. We need an ace, the whole nation, 600,000 plus people to quench their thirst. How do I solve the problem of bitter water? What do I put in the bitter water?
Sugar.
Honey, date honey, fig honey. They didn't have honey in those days. I put something sweet in there. I don't have enough honey on me to saturate the lake. It doesn't matter. Why does it not matter? Because it's an ace anyway. It's an ace nigla anyway. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu thinks the solution is, says the Tanchuma. No. Re'ema dichsiv shom. Yitzhak Moshe Hashem. Moshe cries out to Hashem and says, we need honey. We need something sweet to counteract the bitterness of the water. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says to him, Moshe, ein dorochai kemidas basov adam achshov atot tzorich lilmoid. Shneema vayareyu Hashem eitz. Kosh Baruch Hu says, now you need to learn this lesson. Vayorehu, I need to teach you something. The way we're going to solve this problem is not by introducing sweetness to the bitterness. What we're going to do is, and the Mechilta and the Midrashim, Darshim, that this eight was an eight Zayas. I think it's Rabbi Yehuda again, actually, or Rebbe Yehuda. It's an eight Zayas. Why? Says the Medrash. That is the most, I've never personally eaten wood. I don't like olives in general, but I've never eaten the kol shekin, I've never eaten the wood of an olive tree, but yeah, apparently it's the...
I just mentioned it before.
The...
No, we were
talking about olive tree.
We were talking about olives, yeah.
So you said the tree is no good, you just said.
The tree is no good.
No, I said there are many... When we were talking about infestations, I said there are many infestations of the tree and the leaves, but not many of the olive itself.
Oh, but interesting. So apparently as well, the olive wood is the most bitter.
Could be.
Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And here we're going to get to Parah Aduma. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have lime juice in front of you. How do you make the lime juice less sour? You think you put honey in it? Or sugar? Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. I want you to take lemon juice and I want you to put that in the lime juice and see what happens. Go and do it. Moshe's like, that's not how the world works. Says Hashem, the world works the way I want it to work. Put the lime juice in the lemon juice and see what happens. Put it in, take a drink. Strawberry and vanilla. Delicious. Midas basar gadam. You put lime juice in lemon juice, you drink it, your face shrivels up. You start crying. So sour. Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take that bitter tree, put it in that bitter water, and watch what happens. You won't believe it. V'hamayim mismatkin. The waters will become sweet. And we've seen this before. Where's Parah Adumah in this? You can see it now, can't you? It says, Bamidbar Rabbah, the final source, and we'll conclude with this. Yudches Zois Chukas HaTorah. Says that it's a very, very powerful medrash. Mi Oso Kein. Mi Tzivo Kein. Mi Gozar Kein. Lo Yechida Shaloylam. Taman Tzaninan over there, we taught. Oiskim Bapara Mitchilavad Soif. Metamim Begodim. He Guf Mataris Begodim. The paradox. Excuse me. The paradox of Parah Adumah is what? You take Mei Parah. You take this entity that is Matame, everyone who touches it, and you introduce that Matame to a Tome, and what comes out? Tahar. Mi Gozar Kein. Mi Omar Kein. Who said this? Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Chuka chukakti gezeiro gezarti I ato rashay lav al gezeirosi. What's happening at Mora? And if we have 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I'll say a yesoid that I'm still working on. We're familiar with the idea of a Nes Nistar. A Nes Nistar. You're familiar with the idea of a Purim coming up, the quintessential Nes Nistar. We're familiar with a Nes Nigle. Another way of saying a Nes Nigle, a revealed miracle, is a Nes that is Lamala Minateva. Okay? It's above nature. What's happening at Mora, and I'll say this in one line, and then we'll officially finish, and then I can carry on, maybe stop the recording, I don't know. What's happening at Mora, Vayarehu Eitz, the teaching, the Sham Son Loi Choko Mishpat. What's happening in Mora is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Klal Yisrael, there's a level above a Nes Nigla. There's a level above Lamala Minateva. This is going to start messing with our brains, so follow. What's the level above Lamala Minateva? I would call it Lamala Minasecho.
The opposite of Teva.
Not the opposite of Teva. No? It's something that is supernatural and makes no sense. Such as, Mora, take a bitter tree, put it in bitter water, and out comes sweet water. Take a Dova Matame, put it on an Ish Tome, and out comes Tohor. Above Lamala Minateva is Lamala Minasecho. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chuka Chokakti Gezeiro Gezarti. And I was really thinking about this. I don't know if Klal Yisrael have encountered this level in Mitzrayim. I think if you apply this Yesoid to every Mako, I'll give you an example of what I would imagine this to look like, and it really plays with your brain because it is Lamala Min HaSeichel. It's impossible for us to fully understand it. Kriyas Yamsuf is not Lamala Min HaSeichel, for example. And I'll really finish with this. What I mean by that is it Lamala Min HaTeva?
Yeah.
It's Lamala Min HaTeva. But does it make sense? By which I mean, if it were to be natural that randomly seas around the world just split open, Luyitsuya, that happened every now and then, every 17 years or something, all the seas in the world split. If that were to be natural, and I look down from a bird's eye view at what's going on, does what I see make sense to me? Yes. There's one group of people who are drowning because they are underwater, and there's another group of people who are not drowning because they're on dry land. So it's Lamala Minateva, but it makes sense when I look at it. Kriyas Yamsuf at the level of Mora looks like the following. I look down from my bird's eye view. I see two groups of people, the Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael, and they're both underwater. And Klal Yisrael are breathing anyway. The same property, Mora b'Mora, Tome b'Tome. The same property, the same experience, with a different outcome. That's the lesson of Mora, that we say in the Medrash, Iyata Rashi Lav El Gezei Rossi, and that, La Anias Daiti, is where Rashi gets Parah Adumah from. this is the first and perhaps only time that we learn a parasha and you start to understand where Paradoma is and how it works. Good Shabbos. Shabbos.